Senate candidates make closing arguments in their final debate. A constitutional amendment on the ballot. That, plus a Lucy Brenton ad from Democrats, predictions, and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending November 2nd, 2018.
Ice Miller is proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
This week, Indiana's Senate candidates addressed immigration, government spending, and foreign policy in their final debate, but the issue they kept circling back to was health care.
It's a debate that's played out over the whole campaign. Democratic incumbent Joe Donnelly calls himself, quote, the final vote to save health care, and attacks Mike Braun for the Republicans' support of a lawsuit to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
If you have someone in your family with diabetes, with arthritis, with asthma, their coverage goes away if Mike's lawsuit is successful.
Braun leads on his experience building his company's health care plan.
I want to lower the cost of health care to where it is affordable, what the original bill was supposed to do. You're not going to get it out of people that have been there.
Will health care be the defining issue of Indiana's Senate race? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Jennifer Hollowell, John Schwanes, host of Indiana Lawmakers, and Nikki Kelly, Statehouse reporter for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. I'm Indiana Public Broadcasting State House reporter Brandon Smith. Jennifer Hollowell, we're going to be asking for a lot of predictions on this show, but I'll start with one now, which is, will health care be what decides this race?
I don't think so, as much as Democrats want it to be. I mean, we've seen across the country that Democrats are trying to make all of these elections about health care. And I don't really think that is the factor or the deciding factor in this race. I think it comes down to the president and whether or not you support the president's agenda and whether or not you want to see that agenda be advanced through the United States Senate. And that is why I think Mike Braun will win this race, because the majority of Hoosiers absolutely want to see the president's agenda get advanced. And Senator Donnelly has been an obstacle for that. And he wants to go around touting his support and how many times he voted with the president. And those are all the times when we frankly didn't need his vote. When we need his vote, when it's a close or a tough issue, Senator Donnelly sides with the Democrats. He does not side with Hoosiers. And that is what this race is really shaping up to be about.
Democrats obviously have been trying to push the health care message, but do enough people, especially on the other side, care enough about it?
Oh, I think they do, which is why Jennifer hopes it isn't the deciding issue. I mean, Mike Braun touts about his experience as a businessman. When you look at what he does, he brags about how low the premiums are for his employees. That's because they have the illusion of coverage. You have a $10,000 deductible. When you divide that by a year, they're basically paying over $900 a month for coverage, okay? $900 a month to get to the point where their health care kicks in. They make $2,500 on average here, okay? And $900 of it goes to health care. And if you have a catastrophic situation, which is really what this coverage is all about, it's catastrophic only, which is why it's so cheap. Under those circumstances with catastrophic coverage, he goes in and he predates the date you're terminated, so the coverage is cut off, as he did with that heart attack victim. So that's why he's a multimillionaire. And people want pre-existing conditions covered. They want it. He's for repealing Obamacare. In the 10 years since Obamacare has been passed, no Republican plan to substitute coverage has come forward, none, to be passed, when they have majorities in both houses of Congress and the presidency. So they're not going to cover pre-existing conditions. In fact, he spoke favorably about Curtis Hill's intervention in the lawsuit to declare Obamacare unconstitutional. So you lose pre-existing condition coverage, you lose the exclusion for lifetime caps, and you lose the coverage to age 26. And people across the board care about that, not to mention the fact that 400,000 Hoosiers would lose health care if Mike Braun got his way.
Jennifer.
Mike Braun's company has covered pre-existing conditions long before any of this
after
started.
$10,000.
Look at the record. He's covered pre-existing conditions
after $10,000.
And has pledged that they will continue to, right. And has pledged that if the lawsuit goes through, the first thing we need to do is pass a bill
you've
to make sure that we have
years,
coverage for pre-existing
you've had
conditions.
10 years to do it, and you haven't
Nikki,
done it.
Will health care be at the forefront of the majority of Hoosier voters' minds?
I think it's hard to debate you know, oh, 33% of my vote is based on this topic, and, you know, 16% is based on this topic. I mean, I think it's one of probably three or four that are going to have a big say. The immigration debate, the economy, and the tax cuts will be a big issue. I do think that Democrats have gone all in on health care and pre-existing conditions. And if they don't, you know, if Joe Donnelly doesn't pull it out, you know, there will be some maybe armchair quarterbacking on whether they chose the right topic.
Well, health care is an issue. I won't say the issue, is echoing what Nikki says, but it's an issue. And it's not in the way that Republicans would have suspected or predicted perhaps as recently as 9 months ago or a year ago. I remember many discussions here where, you know, people were trying to use that as a crowbar or as a bludgeon to go after Democrats, yeah. And saying that this is going to be the death knell of the Donnelly campaign because he was supportive of various aspects of the Affordable Care Act, including the ones that you just articulated, Ann. So, and I think some of us thought at the time that it was a little too early to suggest that that was going to unfold in the manner that the Republican majorities in Congress thought, and I think once in our life, we were proven right. But it'll be an issue as well as the others. And let's not forget, some people are simply motivated by control of the Senate. It comes down to, and that gets back to the notion of it being more, you know, one-party government, the White House, and more of a referendum.
Jen talked about it right at the start.
Yeah. Right.
Referendum.
Well, time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question: who will win Indiana's U.S. Senate race, Joe Donnelly or Mike Braun? Last week's question: will Attorney General Curtis Hill serve out the rest of his term in office? 53% say yes, 47% say no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Well, Indiana voters this year are asked to decide whether to amend Indiana's Constitution with language that requires the legislature to pass balanced budgets. The ballot question asks if the Constitution should require lawmakers pass a balanced budget unless at least two-thirds of both chambers suspend that requirement. Legal experts argue the state constitution, in effect, already has such a requirement. It currently bars the legislature from creating debt except to meet, quote, casual deficits. Those experts say the proposed language adds unnecessary complexity. Some online posts claim the amendment would allow lawmakers to raid state pensions to cover budget shortfalls. But they can already do that. Nothing in current law stops lawmakers from taking measures to prevent a shortfall. In fact, the amendment potentially makes it harder to raid pensions by requiring two-thirds votes in both houses to do so.
Ann Delaney, should this amendment be added to the Indiana Constitution?
No. It's a political stunt by Mike Pence. That's all it was. He wanted to show he was more conservative than whatever his name was beforehand.
Mitch Daniels.
Thank you. Governor Daniels. And all of that language in there is nothing more than confusing. It's going to wind up being litigated. It's going to be good for lawyers who are going to go in and challenge some of the terminology.
I would think you'd want to see it added to the Constitution.
I don't think you need to clutter it up. We have not had an unbalanced budget in this state in, what, 120 years? Since 1891. Okay, it's worked just fine the way it has been. Why do you clutter it up with this nonsense except for a political stunt that Mike Pence, one of the other terrific ideas of the Mike Pence administration, along with RFRA and, you know, Interstate 69 and things like that. So
Indiana's had a pretty good record of balancing its budgets. Why do we need this?
Well, in terms of political stunts, there have been stunts in recent years, including in the early 2000s. There have been times when the budget wasn't necessarily balanced, where they've done things to maneuver, and back 10, 20 years ago, where they did things to maneuver so that they didn't violate this carrying debt over, but they delayed payments to schools or reconfigured things so that they met this requirement. So it absolutely makes sense to pass this balanced budget and the ballot referendum, I was sort of say amendment, something about federal things, but the balanced budget amendment in order to require this so that for future years, all into the future. No, because right now you just can't carry over debt. Absolutely, we should be passing budgets that don't spend more than they take in.
Which is what the Constitution currently requires. And this doesn't change the language of the Constitution.
The Constitution doesn't currently require this, or we wouldn't be
amending
the
Constitution.
It
does not require
you
to borrow.
Carry over debt.
Right. But let me ask this. It does say that you can't spend more than you estimate you will collect, because obviously you can't know when you pass the budget how much you'll bring in. And the legislature and legislative staff pretty much create those estimates. So how binding will this really be if it's added to the Constitution?
And about as binding as any estimate in the world is. I mean, that is an estimate. It's a best guess. And that's probably one of the areas where you potentially could see litigation about when is an estimate more of an estimate and when is it more just, you know, throw some, put your finger in the wind and kind of take a guess. It's probably not necessary. We do have those provisions. It is, I think, a stunt largely. I guess Hoosiers can be gratified that we don't have as many of these stunts as some states, and that's because of the way we go about the process of amending the Indiana Constitution. We've only had, I think, a couple dozen really over the years. You look at some states like Alabama, 900 since in the history of Alabama. Florida has 12 on the ballot, I think, this year.
I think we need a right to garden.
So the point is,
since we have a right
the Constitution
hunt,
generally is a pretty good document, I think we would all agree, and we should be thankful that we don't see the 10 or 12 of these as other states do.
10 or 12 other bad ideas.
I just want lawmakers to remember this debate because I think it doesn't hurt anything. I'm not sure it helps anything either. I think it's probably very status quo. But, you know, we hear a lot of things on the hate crimes debate recently about how, well, we can already do that in law. Why would we put something in law that we already have? And this is an exact thing of what we're doing with the constitutional amendment.
That's a very good point.
That's never good news. The Indiana Democratic Party has sent out campaign mailers promoting Libertarian Senate candidate Lucy Brenton.
Libertarian Lucy Brenton ran for Senate in 2016 and got about 5.5% of the vote. If she repeats or improves on that performance this year, it could tip the scales between Democratic incumbent Joe Donnelly and Republican Mike Braun. Brenton is happy to play that role.
In order to move the Liberty needle and to encourage the old parties to move us towards freedom, the second loser has to know that they lost because of me. They have to know that they lost because libertarian ideals and freedom are being demanded by the populace.
The Indiana Democratic Party is trying to help make that happen. In a campaign mailer, the Dems promote Brenton as the race's anti-tax candidate, contrasting Brenton's positions with those of Mike Braun. Asked about the mailer, State Democratic Chair John Zodi said the party, quote, shares a lot of information with a lot of voters.
Nikki Kelly, does this feel a little desperate from the Democrats?
Well, John Zodi definitely didn't want to talk about it much. He was very quick when we asked him about it this weekend. I would call it more of like the Hail Mary, you know, and they're just throwing everything up there and hoping, you know, enough of it sticks to get their candidate through.
Can this have an impact?
It probably could at the margins. But if you look around the country, we've seen races, presidential and otherwise, that have come down to third-party candidacies that have
upset the balance,
have broken loose enough core votes from one of the two main party candidates to tip the scales. I'm not sure it's necessarily a Hail Mary. That suggests maybe more desperation. I do think if we want to find maybe it's everything in the kitchen sink sort of approach as opposed to the Hail Mary, but hey, metaphors are metaphors, and we can pick them. I think it's just covering all your bases and doing everything you possibly can.
Is this fair play from the Democrats?
No. Of course it's not. Can you imagine what Ann and Democrats would say if Republicans sent out mailers like this, just flipping the script on them?
They would go crazy.
They'd be screaming and jumping off of buildings about this. It's ridiculous. What? And is it collusion? Are they talking and coordinating these efforts?
Lucy Brenton seemed pretty surprised by the ad,
The spoiler. No, I think it's outrageous. And we've seen over the last few days around the country, there are mailers that are going out, which I have received two at my household, thank you. Mailers going out that are completely illegal with no disclaimers, that are doing the same exact thing, that are attacking Mike Braun and promoting Lucy Brenton. And it happened in Missouri and I think Montana. And they've traced it back to a national the Democrat Senatorial Committee vendor. So, I mean, once this is said and done, what can you do about it? It's all hitting our mailboxes.
There's nothing that's not factually accurate in the mailer that John Zodi sent out. It's absolutely factually accurate, and it contains information that goes to voters.
So okay.
God forbid they should get information.
You're saying
that's
it's
what
okay
you're saying.
For the state Democrat Party
yeah.
to spend
you know what,
money
by the way,
promoting a
by
libertarian
the way, by
candidate.
By the way, this is not the first time that this has been done. It's been done for 10 years.
By
Where
Democrats.
Have you guys been?
By Democrats.
Well,
Democrats.
I just
and he put the
disclaimer. 2 years ago.
Well, that's right. But you were a reporter before that.
That's true.
And they had the disclaimer on it. They're not hiding anything. And everything that's in that piece is factually accurate. What you don't like about it is that it is factually accurate, and the disclaimer is there.
I don't like
and
that it's underhanded.
It's not underhanded at all. It's right there on the disclaimer.
You're promoting.
And they are giving
your
factual
opponent.
Information
is the Democratic
to the voters.
Party, but is the Democratic Party saying vote for Lucy Brenton?
Yes.
The Democratic Party is saying this is what vote Lucy Brenton stands for.
The Democratic Party is mailing Republicans.
If you're more compatible with that than you are with the Republican Party, then you can make your own decision. That's what they're saying. And that's what the Republicans hate.
All right. Well, President Trump this week promoted on his Twitter account a campaign video for the midterm elections that has been called by some blatantly racist.
The web video, created by the president's campaign arm, shows a Mexican man convicted of killing 2 California law enforcement officers who in court promises to kill more. The video blames Democrats for those deaths.
John Schwanes, this seems pretty clearly meant to scare voters into coming out, and obviously for Republicans or against Democrats at least. Is it effective?
It's effective. Fear in and of itself is effective as a motivator at the polls, but it cuts 2 ways. It may instill fear or a sense of urgency on the part of core supporters who share these beliefs that immigration is somehow running rampant and unchecked, and we better batten down the hatches. But it also mobilizes, it seems to me, and incentivizes people who are saying this doesn't seem quite right. And you're seeing that from people, of course, within the Republican Party, members of Congress from, for instance, Florida and Jeff Flake, which the White House, I'm sure, would dismiss as a flake.
Flaky.
But I mean, he called it sickening. So it cuts both ways. I think you will have people who say this is not what America is about. This is we're talking about a caravan that's moving at a snail's pace and is now, 900 miles away.
And we're spending $35 million to send forces down there.
By the time the whatever diminished caravan gets here to face the rifles and automatic weapons of the U.S. military, I doubt it's going to be much of a threat. So I do think it cuts both ways.
We've seen ads a little like this work effectively in the past. But does this one, as some have suggested, go a little bit too far?
I guess it depends which side of the aisle you're on. I mean, it's definitely fear-mongering at its core. It's literally trying to scare voters into voting for or against someone. I would like to think that we could coalesce around a more hopeful message and more about what you want to bring policy-wise or, to the country and to the state rather than that kind of message.
Is this going to be effective, though?
I think it's too late. I think people have turned off the ads in their own heads. Some of them have muted the ads. I mean, this wouldn't come as a surprise. This is Trump's playbook. I mean, this is exactly what he does over and over and over again. He demonizes groups that oppose him. He refers to them as animals. He does all the kinds of things that you see demagogues do. And this is an exact example of what a demagogic kind of an ad would look like. And yes, it is darn close to being racist and implying that Democrats, I mean, he's been president for 2 years. How long has this guy been here in the country?
Well,
I mean, is he not responsible?
The man in the ad first entered the country under a Democratic president, was released by a Republican sheriff who was pardoned by the president, and then re-entered the country under a Republican president.
Ah, so it was on his watch. So maybe
not
he's
president
the one.
Trump's watch.
A Republican, nonetheless.
President Bush.
Nonetheless, a Republican. And somebody released him who Trump pardoned?
Joe Arpaio.
Yes. So, I mean, he's not responsible for the fact that this guy killed 2 law enforcement officers. It's a really interesting way. I mean, he just twists the truth. He doesn't have even a fleeting affinity for telling the truth. He lies about everything.
The polls we've seen lately have suggested that there are still somehow some relatively undecided voters out there.
Or maybe they just don't want to tell you.
Maybe, yeah, well, that might be right. Too. But if there are any people who haven't decided how they're going to vote, what does seeing this ad do for them?
Well, I think...
I should say, not an ad, a web video.
Okay,
it's not running as an ad around the country. I should clarify that.
I only knew that this was on Twitter, so unless
yes,
you follow the president's Twitter or wherever the places where it started, you wouldn't see it. So it's not like it's running in mass media. But you know, I mean, the president clearly is very focused on painting, illustrating the contrast and the choices in this election. And he's done that on the campaign trail ever since he first started running. He does it so that he can simply show strong opinions on both sides. I mean, Democrats want open borders. Republicans
Democrats don't want open
Republicans
borders.
Republicans want a border control plan.
We want a sensible immigration policy.
And what I was
we don't want to separate children from their parents.
What I was getting ready to say is that ultimately what I think is most important is that we actually pass an immigration reform bill.
Well, he doesn't even propose
and
one, so
that's
not
going to happen. We have been talking about this for at least 20 years that I know of.
Yeah, that's true.
And at the end of the day, that is what is going to solve these things. And hopefully,
he's
whatever happens on Tuesday, hopefully we will pass an immigration reform bill.
He's not going to
so
propose
can,
it. He's not going to propose anything that solves the problem. His wife got in. His wife's parents got in. He's pulling up the drawbridge.
He said a year ago that there was an agreement with Democrats, and Democrats thought that, and of course Republicans went ballistic.
He's not going to do it.
And hopefully it will happen.
He's not going to do it.
All right.
He's
going to
scare.
Now it's time for that part of the show that our panelists hate the most every year. It's prediction time. The answers to the questions we've been asking for months are almost here. So it is time to choose. I will start with the three statewide elected seats, Secretary of State, Auditor, and Treasurer. It has been decades in all three of those, going all the way back to 1974 in the Auditor's race, I believe, or the Treasurer's race, that Democrats have won. So do Democrats pick up any of those seats this time?
No, zero.
Any chance?
No, zero chance.
I think it depends. I mean, there's no question it's an uphill battle. But if the turnout is exemplary this year, I think it could be a different ballgame.
Even in 2008, when turnout was about as good as it's ever going to get for Democrats, they couldn't do it.
I'm going to say the Republicans still hold all three, though I will say I think the closest person to come will be Jim Harper.
The Secretary
He's
of State
a
candidate
good campaign.
For the Democrats.
Now, we don't get to be undecided like the people you were just talking
no.
about. Okay. I think all the incumbents who are Republicans will remain in office.
I want to ask about the State House and the Senate. Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm sorry. I do have to make a pick. Yeah, I think all the Republicans. The Republicans keep all three of those seats. Tried to sneak that one by. I want to ask about the State House and the Senate seats. They've got a couple seats in the State Senate here in Indianapolis that I want to ask about first. Jim Merritt and Mike Delf, two longtime incumbents who are in tough fights. The Democrats, I live in Merritt's district, Democrats are targeting him pretty harshly. Either one of them lose their seats?
I think that Senator Merritt certainly gets reelected. I also live in that district. I think he has run a strong campaign, but more importantly than that, frankly, is Senator Merritt goes out and knocks on doors and talks to constituents year-round, election year, non-election year, all the time. The Delf seat, I think, is a lot trickier, and I'm not sure what will happen there.
Derek Camp has run an excellent campaign against Merritt, and Merritt's votes for RFRA and against gays and his conflicts of interest when he was a state senator, all are there for the voters to decide. You know, whether 30 years for both Delf and Merritt are enough, and I think the answer is yes. Those districts are trending Democratic, and I think we'll pick them up.
I think there'll be some back and forth swapping in those, but I think the Republicans will hold super majorities in both chambers.
Yeah.
Is that an answer? That's
a, that was.
Okay, back and forth. All right.
In both chambers. You think in the House, too.
Yeah. All right. I think that's probably accurate. And I think, Jim Merritt, I agree. I used to live in that district, too, and you're right. He would show up maybe at inopportune times, it always seemed. But so he does work the district. I think he holds on.
Let's
maybe
not have any more detail about
Delf
that.
A little bit more questionable. But I do think the State House will look much like it does now.
I think Jim Merritt wins, but I think Mike Delf is he's the only Republican in a district that Hillary Clinton won in 2016. I think now is finally the time.
It's the toughest seat for us to hold.
I want to ask about Indiana's congressional races. There's two, obviously, that seem even relatively close, the second and the ninth. Do Republicans hold both?
I don't think they're even close. Yes, Republicans hold both.
Not even close.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what turnout merits.
There.
They're two with a shot, and it depends on who turns out and how strong Joe Donnelly is.
That wasn't much of a prediction, but I'm going to also go with I think they'll both retain him.
Quickly.
I'll nod. Yeah, I think it's
all right. I think the Hollingsworth race might be close in the ninth, but I think he holds on to it. And then finally, the big one, the Indiana U.S. Senate race. We've already sort of gotten your answer earlier
Mike Braun.
Joe Donnelly.
I think Senator Donnelly squeaks it out.
That's all it takes.
I agree. Joe Donnelly in a close race.
I think Joe Donnelly has to have everything go just right. I think the turnout has to be right. I think Republican turnout has to be relatively low.
So is that a yes?
And I think
everything goes just right.
Okay.
So I think Joe Donnelly wins. But
there you
boy,
go.
Oh boy, it's going to come
How's
right down to it.
Yeah.
Well, it might tip the scales.
It might.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Jennifer Hollowell, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and Nikki Kelly of the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at wfyi.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity and on the new WFYI app. I'm Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Join us next time, because a lot can happen in an Indiana week.
Ice Miller is proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.